The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
New research has found that nearly one in four women in Ireland and the UK do not know the length of their own menstrual cycle. And it also found that two in five actively trying for a baby cannot accurately identify their fertile window. And this is all despite the growing popularity of period tracker apps. So should you be using one? And what privacy concerns are there for women storing sensitive information online? Joining us now to discuss all of this is Elaine Burke, host of the For Tech's Sake podcast. This is really interesting because I always look to who provides the research, of course, and this is provided by somebody who offers a fertility app and a period tracking app. So I can see why they're saying, look, you know, not enough of you are using these. I suppose two things. Elaine, do you think women should be using these things? And also talk to us about that privacy concern.
Yeah, so I mean, period tracking is something that we've managed without technology for a long time. Some people just use a pen and a pad. But the advantage, I suppose, is that a lot of people carry a smartphone with them all the time, and it gives you that convenience of being able to record or even prompting you to record some of that information because you can often forget, even though it's something that you're supposed to do daily. But if you're signing up to one of these apps, they are built very differently. That's the thing. And it really depends on what their privacy policy is, but also what their reputation is in terms of managing data and having good data governance in place, in terms of how much trust you should give over to them. And also they collect different amounts of data as well. And there's some fitness apps that have now edged themselves into period tracking as a factor of an overall health tracker. There's some that are designed specifically to be period trackers. There are some that are designed to help people who are on more of a fertility journey. So there's lots of different flavors out there, and among those different flavors, you get different amounts of data collection and different types of data management.
Okay, so if you are on something like the Fitbit app, they do, I think, offer period tracking, but it's to do with calorie tracking and water tracking and weight tracking and exercise tracking as well. But then there are others that obviously are more honed in on, you know, somebody maybe trying to get pregnant. They do, some of them look for, I was reading this, quite invasive information that I don't necessarily know I would want to share with anybody other than my doctor and God.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, you have to consider, how is that information being stored and managed? Like, if it's a case that you open up this app on your phone and that information stays on your phone where you've input it so that you can use it and you can make use of it and you may be able to refer to it in an appointment with your doctor, well, that would be peak privacy. That would be the kind of thing that you'd want. And it's probably what some people expect is happening. But the reality with most of these applications is that that data is shared to that company's server and may even be shared downstream to even more companies, advertising companies and companies that might benefit from knowing a bit more about you in order to target things at you. Maybe if they know what your period cycle is, they'll know when to target the chocolate advertisements at you.
Yeah, but some of the stuff that some of them are looking for is things like about your sexual activity, protected or unprotected sex, things like that. Like, I can see in principle why if you were trying for a baby that that might have uses or implications. But you're quite right. Who do you want to know this? I mean, this is people need to go in with their eyes open here, don't they?
Absolutely. And it's a case of choosing what you share as well. Like, those options may be available to you on the app that you've selected, but you don't have to tick every box. If all that you need is to track the days that you're menstruating and maybe have an idea of when you will be menstruating next, and that's all that you need to fill in, then all you need to fill in is that information.
Yeah.
A lot of them have the opportunity to give more information than maybe the user might have intended to disclose to begin with. So beware of that. These things operate in what's called dark patterns. They will try to prompt and encourage you to share more. But go in, as you said, with your eyes open and with your intentions very clear. What do you want to get out of this? If it is to track things like sexual activity for fertility, well, then by all means, you might use it for that. But then definitely check their privacy policy and have a think about how that data is managed.
One of the other things that they say in here is that women don't know things like their fertile window. And I suppose that might be the selling point, that I presume these apps, because they know when your period is coming and when it's going, and how long the cycle is, that they're able to identify it. So you can see the temptation for people to manage things like that. But of course, as you've said, we have managed these things since the year dot without access to any of these things, and your body will still function and do whatever it's doing without one of these things. This is an add-on. It's not a necessary, really, is it?
Yeah, and they are, you know, targeting themselves at people in somewhat of a vulnerable position, especially when it comes to, say, fertility tracking. It's people who maybe really, really want that positive outcome to become pregnant and want to do everything in their power to make that happen. But as you well know yourself, there's lots of factors that contribute to that, and there's no magic wand that can be waved to make it happen for people. So be wary of apps that are trying to sell you on something that, you know, in many cases is kind of the fluke of nature in many, many ways as well. Yeah, how quantified you make yourself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I suspect, particularly in the US, where things like Roe versus Wade is being rowed back from in various states, that you wouldn't necessarily want Big Brother out there knowing every aspect of your cycle, et cetera, for fear, really, that at some point it might be used against you.
Yeah, this has been a huge concern in the years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. There have been instances in the US where cases have been made against apps maybe sharing information about women who have had abortions and maybe have logged those instances in these apps and things like that. And then that can possibly be used against them in cases of prosecution. And obviously that's a huge risk that people in the US are really aware of.
Handmaid's Tale sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, honestly, yeah, it's so, so scary. Now, as I probably mentioned at the start, we in the EU, we have more data protection afforded us than those poor users in the US. So I would, have a little bit more confidence in apps that are available in the EU. But I would myself personally, when it comes to anything with data protection and sensitive data, I would skew towards companies that are also coming out of the EU themselves, because they, you know, live and breathe this data practice and this kind of data governance.
Yeah, and I do think that the old fashioned adage that if something is private and sensitive to you, just be careful where you put it, because it's not like your phone that there aren't other eyes on it in terms of harvesting your data. I mean, we do forget that sometimes, but that's not the case.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're so right there. It's just, it's not always stored on your phone. We might think of it that way, but that's often not the case. But, and I reading privacy policies isn't for everyone, and I totally understand that. But there are studies out there to help you make decisions if you're looking for more privacy conscious apps. There was one from the Mozilla Foundation recently, found an app called Yuki, EUKI, only stores information on your phone for you to use, of you to make use of, doesn't share it with their own company, with their own service or anything. And that's their top rated app for privacy. So look for recommendations like that when you're looking for privacy focused apps.
Look, thank you so much for going through all of that with us. That is Elaine Burke, their host of the For Tech's Sake podcast.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.